a word for you, it's also a word for me. Because every time I rewrite it and, you know, prepared my sermon, I found I was speaking to myself in a different verse every single time. I will be reading 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 12. My message is in the focus from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6 through 10. Yeah, 10. But I want to start from the beginning solely to give you a background knowledge on what we're talking about. So if you remember, before I start reading it, if you remember when I preached last time on New Year's, I told you that the best gift God gave us was the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit will comfort you and be there for you at all times, no matter what you go through. And that was the single best gift God the Son and God the Father could give us. Now I would like to tell you what God the Spirit gives us in terms of gifts. So you guys, please stand for the reading of God's word, and then we'll head into prayer and head right into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but by the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is to the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by that same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that body, that one body, being many, are one. So also is Christ." Please bow your heads for the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just to say thank you, God. Thank you for this wonderful word that's going to educate us on what your Holy Spirit does for us and what gifts we have in us, God. God, I just ask that you have your way with this sermon, God. Have your way with this service and have your way with this Sunday. Have your way with the rest of the year, God. God, I ask that no one walks out of here not learning something new from this, God. I ask that everyone has a changed mind, a changed heart. And if it doesn't change, God, I just ask that at least one verse sticks with them throughout the week and makes them wonder on it, God, and makes them pick up a Bible and just want to read it and find out more about you, Jesus. God, I ask that you take less of me and put more of you right now in the name of Jesus, God. And God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before I start, I would like to ask the band to disensemble. I won't be preaching today. I'll be teaching. It's too often that we come into a church, hear praise and worship, and have a pastor or a preacher holler at us for a half an hour. We dance a little bit and then walk out and nothing changed. All you did was sweat a little bit and lose a few calories, but your spirit is still damaged. You didn't learn anything that's going to help you get into heaven a little more. So for this Sunday, I would like to just teach and have a conversation with you all and with myself so that we might understand God a little more. So as I said before, last time I preached, I told you that the best gift God ever gave us was the Holy Spirit. And I told you that the Holy Spirit does a lot for us day in and day out, seen and unseen, that we may not understand in that moment. So this Sunday, I want to break down the gifts that God the Son and God the Father gives to us through God the Spirit to use. That way, if you have one of these gifts, you know how to use it and when to use it. Amen. So starting at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Now, when you hear this, you may think, well, wisdom has to come from from a pastor or a reverend or a bishop, someone that spends time and time in the Bible. That's not how that works. In fact, wisdom is just understanding the Bible, and anyone and everyone can understand the Bible. Why? Because God is not a God of confusion. God said what he said, and he meant that. So when you read it for what it is, right? Take an easy parable that I love to read and reflect on. When the woman was about to be stoned, and they asked Christ, shall we stone her? Christ picked up a stone. God the Son picked up a stone and said, let he who has no sin cast thy first stone. But everybody stops right there and thinks they got the whole message. Yes, that scripture means that no Christian should judge another Christian. But the deeper or the more important message is what happened after that. Christ himself, God the Son, who is sinless, declined to throw the stone. What does that tell you? God himself, who has no sin, therefore has every right to throw the stone, didn't. And I wonder, why wouldn't he throw the stone? He was the only one there that could do it. And as I go throughout college and Drexel University and I talk to other students and things like that, they always tell me I'm spiritual but not religious. And I always wonder, well, what does that mean? I didn't know you could break up those two. I thought they had to be one. And they would say, well, I don't like being labeled as a Christian. So why? You believe in Jesus Christ. You're a follower. That's the definition of a Christian. And they would say to me, because Christians only judge me for the things that I do. And it stuck out to me, and I said, wow, I actually never thought about that like that, right? The moment you do something wrong, the church is the first one to persecute you. And when I read that parable, and I read it in its entirety, I understood that God didn't persecute that woman. In fact, he showed grace and mercy and loved her in spite of the wrong she did, right? Why did he do that? Because God knew that throwing a stone at her wouldn't cause her to change her sin. All it would do is make her resent God for who he was. And I truly believe that if we understood that 50 years ago, the world will be in a much better place than what it is. Churches will be full because you wouldn't have people outside afraid to come in. You wouldn't have people outside afraid to be judged for the sin they did in their past or the sin they're doing right now. They would come in just to have love from someone. Because the only thing that can cause you to change is love. You can hate someone all you want to and tell them they're going to hell all you want to. It's not going to change them. In fact, all you'll do is push them further away. That's wisdom. That doesn't need to come from a pastor or a reverend. That can come from you just reading the Bible. Because it says what it says. You just have to read it in its entirety. You go on to the next gift. He says, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, this word knowledge we like to give to the biblical scholars, right? When you hear a biblical scholar, you say, wow, that guy is smart, or that woman is smart. That's a true person of God. They know the Bible inside and out. They can quote from Genesis to Revelation. I have never met somebody like this. This is incredible. I don't want to be a biblical scholar. And I'll tell you why. The last biblical scholars we know of did what? They missed God. The Pharisees knew the law inside and out. And when God the Son stood in front of them, they called blasphemy on them. How can you know the word in and out and still miss God? Clearly, you don't have the knowledge you claim. Because if you did, when you saw God moving in the midst of the church, you would have got your spirit in check and tried to move with him to get what you needed. If you truly had knowledge of God and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you would understand that it's more than just knowing the Bible. It's more than just being able to speak in tongues. It's more than shouting until your weave falls off. It's more than just sweating. Y'all laughing at that one. Listen, I seen some waves fly off sometimes when they start shouting, okay? It's more than those things. It's about Christ. And I'll touch on a little bit later. I'll touch on that later. The next gift that the Holy Spirit gives us, he says, to another faith by the same Spirit. You ever meet that person in your life that, I mean, they just have trials and tribulations left and right, and they just keep on walking, smiling on their face? I mean, they're not even faced by it. They're just walking. They die. I mean, they don't even think to cry. They're just walking. You know what I call that, Reverend? I call that holy faith. That's holy faith right there. They don't care what the enemy just threw at them. They're just walking. I got holy faith on me. I don't need to worry about that hurting me. Because I got faith in God that he'll take care of me. And that's not saying it won't hit me. Holy faith is saying even if it does hit me, I'll still be all right. That's holy faith. That's the gift that he gave us called faith. Meaning, I might lose my job, but I have faith. I'll be all right. I'm not going to stress it. I'm not going to cry about it. Ain't no tears on my eyes. Enemy, you're not taking my joy. I'm going to keep on walking. Because I know even if I do lose it, God got something better for me. And I'll be okay with whatever it is. Because I just have faith in God. Tap your neighbor, say, holy faith. Next time you meet that person, just say, yeah, that's a holy, faithful Christian. Here's the next one. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. This one is important because oftentimes we miss this, right? Everybody does not have the gift of healing. Everyone has a divine gift for them, right? There was only one avatar of these gifts. That was God the Son, right? You can't pray. You can't ask Reverend Lyons, I need a healing for my body. Please pray for me. Listen, he can pray for you. And he can pray for hours and as long as he can, and your healing still might not come. Why? That's not his gift. The Holy Spirit did not give him the power and the authority to do those things. But he'll still pray for you because that's what we do because there's power in prayer. But I just need you to understand that certain people have divine gifts in healing. Okay? Keep following me. It says, to another, the working of miracles. That's the same as the working of healing, right? Healing to me is a miracle, right? Doctors will say, you won't make it. God will say, you'll get up tomorrow. And everybody will be looking, how? What do you have in you that was able to get you up? And that goes back to holy faith. I had holy faith in me. Whether I died or I lived, I'm not worried about it. Whether I go up or I go down, God was still faithful to me. From the beginning to the end, he still never left me. He still never forsake me. All right, watch this. This one is important, and I need you to really understand this one. To another is prophecy. We live in a day and age where everyone and their mama is a prophet. I ain't never seen so many prophets in my life. Every time you turn around, it's Prophet John Doe. I be like, well, Lord, Jesus, you talking to all these people at a time? Ooh, you getting busy up there. I mean, everywhere you go, it's a prophet, it's a prophet. Here's a prophet, there's another prophet, there's a prophet here. And I always told myself when I was younger, I didn't believe in prophets. I said, God, yeah, I know your word is true and all that, but that's the one section I'm not buying into right now, you know? And I'm not going to get up here and lie to you. There's certain parts of the Bible where I didn't believe. I said, I hear you, but now I'm not. Nah, I don't see that one. Because there were so many fake ones, how can you know which one is real? And it made me turn away from that part of the Bible. And I tell you, God gave me the gift of being able to know. Well, it's not a gift. It's just the knowledge of knowing when a prophet is authentic and when it's not. A prophet should never give you a blanket prophecy. If a prophet tells you, yeah, it'll get better, what's it? I don't know what I'm looking for. You didn't tell me what it was. You just told me it's going to get better. Baby, I know it's going to get better. You ain't helping me none. Right? Prophets don't give blanket prophecies. Here's another one. God does not tie money to your blessing. If a prophet ever tells you, sow a seed and got to do it, walk away. Because that's not God. I was sitting in a Kojic convocation, and the prophet walked over to my row, stood right here on the side, and he said, God has whispered in my ear, one of you are going to sow $100, and God is going to bless you. I turned to my neighbor and I said, well, we must be talking to two different guys because God saw my bank account. I ain't got it. Listen, talk about so $100. I ain't got $5. So what should I do? God isn't going to put your blessing on a paycheck. God doesn't care about money. It don't mean nothing to him. He's not even on this world. This government doesn't mean anything. That dollar bill don't mean nothing to God. He's not going to tie your blessing to a paycheck. Guess what? If you don't have it, you can't get blessed. What kind of logic is that, Reverend? How does that work? I should get blessed whether I have money or not. Because if it was the case that you need money to get blessed, Christianity would only be for the rich. And that's not the case. I know it ain't because I'm not rich. All right, here's the next one. And this one is more important than the last one for you to understand. The next one is to another discerning of spirits. This one, I have to say, is probably the most dangerous gift that the Holy Spirit can give you. This is a gift that you need to understand before you walk into it. God can call you, but if you didn't do your homework on it, don't walk into it yet. And guess what? He'll punish you because you should have did your homework. But I'd rather you get punished than get your spirit killed trying to battle something. Here's the thing about spiritual warfare, or somebody that can discern spirits. Let me break it down to you. Discerning just means showing, knowing it's there, right? That's what that means. You can walk into a church, and you can see spirits walk in and out all day. I've done it several times. Every Sunday, no matter what church I'm at, I'll see a spirit walk in, and guess what I do?
Not a thing.
I don't even want to touch it. Why? God didn't tell me to. And that's the biggest thing you have to understand as a person that has a gift in discerning spirits is hearing God. You can see a spirit, and that spirit will make himself known to you. But if God didn't tell you, all you'll end up doing is getting on that floor, sweating out all your hair and your makeup, and I mean, you just go on the wall with this demon. And I'm going to tell you right now, the worst thing, the scariest thing an evil spirit can say is, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. Who are you? And I'm going to tell you why that's scary. Because what he's going to do is he's going to go back. He's going to make a phone call. He's going to say, I got this boy over here. You think he's a spiritual warfare person. Go ahead and have some fun with him. And what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you don't want to read the Bible no more. You're not shouting the way you used to shout. You're not happy the way you used to be happy. Why? Because you didn't got a whole army of spirits on you. Because you thought you was big and bad and can handle everything that walked in that door. Half the time, as a person that has a gift of spiritual warfare, you got to know when it's time to go to battle and when it's time to sit back. Just because a spirit made himself known does not mean it's time for you to get that sword and go swinging. Because I'm going to tell you why. You have no power. The power to discern spirits comes from who? God the Spirit. And if God the Spirit didn't command you to go do it, he ain't walking with you. God's Spirit all the way over here, and you over there on your knees crying out to heaven for some help. And God's Spirit going to look at you and say, I didn't tell you to mess with him. And I didn't tell you to mess with him for a reason. So since you think you big and bad, go on and be big and bad then. And we'll see how far it gets you. Watch this. Let's go to the next one. It says, to another diverse kinds of tongues. If you have the gift of tongues, you got to understand how tongues work. Anybody can get up here or out there and say shundo and shake a little bit. Hey, you ain't doing nothing special. All you did was say shundo. I can say shundo all day long. That's nothing. Tongues is a real gift. Tongues, it's multiple times when tongues is used, but the two most commonly found in the Bible is when God is speaking to us and when we're speaking to him. And he tells you how you'll know it's real tongues when he's speaking to you. Because he said there will always be an interpreter. So if somebody start breaking out in tongues and nobody's there to interpret, you can go back on your phone. That ain't the Holy Spirit talking. That's a spirit, but it ain't the Holy One. So don't pay it no mind. Tongues is a true gift. That's a powerful gift. Why? Because God is literally talking out of your mouth. That's the gift that'll make demons tremble the moment you open your mouth. The moment you lift up a tongue, everything will start to shake and the whole atmosphere begins to change. Why? Because God just made himself known. That means God just stepped off of heaven, off his little seat in heaven, and came down and spoke to his people. And that's important because God loves talking to us. Whether we want to admit it or not, he loves talking to us. He gave us the Bible to what? Just to talk to us. Just to talk to us. You say, hey, I'm just going to get this to you. You know, you got my Holy Spirit. You got my Bible. Go ahead. Talk to me when you want to talk to me. I'm right here. I'm never leaving you. I'm ready when you are. And that's the gift right there of tongues. Here's another one, and it goes along with the first one, the interpretation of tongues. Not everybody can interpret tongues. Some people can speak in tongues, but they can't interpret it. I can tell you right now, when we went down in warfare, I don't know what's being said. I don't even remember what's happening, right? It's not me there right now. You're dealing with a whole other person. That's the Holy Spirit. I can't interpret that. But there's people out there who can, and they can interpret it like another language. It just flips automatically. They know what's being said, and they know they have to get up and go interpret that to the congregation. And they know that if they don't interpret it, they'll get punished. Because God gave them a gift to use, and they failed to use it. So now, these people are out here sitting, hearing these tongues and not knowing what's being said. God could be telling the church something that's going to happen next month to prevent it, but that interpreter never stood up. So now the church is completely blind to what's happening. Well, why am I saying that? Because I'm telling you, if you have a gift and God tells you to use it, make sure you use it in that moment. Don't run from it, right? You don't want to run from it. Number one, it's a reason why they're called divine gifts. Not everybody has a gift from God. Let's just be honest. The same way, not everyone is called by his name, right? Not everybody has a gift from God. So if you have one, make sure you use it. Put it to use. If he tells you, hey, I need you to call up this person and pray for them, it doesn't matter if you haven't talked to that person in years. Call them up. Say, hey, you ain't got to tell them who sent you. Just say, hey, I felt something, you know, felt a little off, so I just wanted to call and pray for you real quick. You got to tell them who it's from. Got to do that. And I think that's more, we missed that one too, because a lot of times as Christians, we think our God, our job or our task is to make Christians. God didn't task you with that. He didn't task you with anything like that. He said your job as a Christian is just to spread the gospel. That's all you got to do. I just want you to plant the seed. Don't keep nagging them to come. Don't keep calling them and bugging them. Just plant the seed. My spirit will do the rest. That's all. And the reason why you keep inviting people and they're not coming is because you keep nagging and nagging and nagging. You're not giving God the Spirit time to reach out. Your job as a Christian is just spread the gospel. And that can be as simple as, hey, Jesus loves you. Have a great day. You can be in the store getting from the checkout line. Hey, God loves you. Walk away. That's the seed right there. Why? Because that's going to sit with them. You'll know what they're going through, what spirit is in them battling for them right now. And all they heard was God. And it's like a little sign went off in their head and said, oh, my God, I forgot about God. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go download that Bible app. Trying to get a word in. Or I'm going to try and find my way into a church. And if I can't make it in the church, I'll just stand outside so I can hear at least the word of God. That's just planting a seed. Everybody does not have a gift. Or let me change that. Everybody does not have a divine gift. We all have a purpose in Christ. But there are some of us who have divine gifts and purpose in Christ. And you have to follow that divine gift. And you have to understand when to use that divine gift. Because all these gifts have meaning. I literally just told you the gift of wisdom is so you can read and understand the Bible for what it is. That way you're not harming someone else. The gift of knowledge is so you don't end up like a biblical scholar and think you know God when he's sitting right in front of you and you don't even see him. That's not knowledge. The gift of discerning spirits is for those people who are spiritual warriors, whether that's from you on prayer in tongues or a praise warrior. They don't even tell you about praise warriors. I had to go find it out myself. Some people's weapon are their feet. They can go through something and they just shouting. and everything starts turning. They might not be able to pray for you, but I guarantee you, you let them buck out their car, and they gonna go to church right there. I mean, they're going to have some storefront church, right? No drums, no organ, no piano. All you're going to see is this whole time, and everybody looking, what is going on over there? I mean, they must be going to a party because she is ready, okay? I need to go to the party she's going to. But they don't tell you about praise warriors. Prayer warriors are talked about all the time. Praise warriors are just as important. And there's praise warriors in this very church who don't know it. But your praise is a weapon, right? There's a reason why God gave us the ability to dance. I'll leave it alone. Because if you really understood it, you understand why when they put him out the church, he kept dancing. That's his gift. He said, I don't care where I'm at. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, I can't help but dance. Can't help but praise him. And that's deeper than that, because if you want to understand that, you got to understand how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit can fall on anybody, and you'll start dancing when that music's playing. But you can tell who the Holy Spirit dwells in. They shouting all day long. They be in their car just going with the music whole time. Be at work going with the music. That's because the Holy Spirit dwells in them. He said it's a joy abundantly. An unspeakable joy. You don't even know why you're happy. I tell you right now, I had some times where I was sitting in class and they said, why are you so happy? I don't know. I'm just happy today. I don't know what's going on. That's that joy unspeakable, because he's just dwelling in me. He's just sitting there, just saying, hey, I'm still here, but I feel you. I feel you. Calm down. We're trying to do math 101. We got to get through this. That's called when he dwells in you. He can fall on anybody, right? Especially when that music playing, you hear your favorite groove, you just cut a step in the rug real quick. That's when he falls on you. But when you start, this is why I said the musicians to step down. A real person that has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them doesn't need an organ to hit an E flat. They don't need a piano to do a little slick riff. They don't need a drum to make a beat. I'll tell you what they need when you got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You just got to think about it. You got to think about it. Push your pride to the side and think about it. When I was back there doing this and that, who was by my side? Mama left me. Daddy left me. My own brothers left me. God stayed, though. God stayed. Yeah, as dirty as you were, God was still there. God was still there. And not only was he still there, he stepped down. Just like that. He was all in heaven. And as dirty as you were, he still stepped down. And he still said, yeah, I'm going to walk with you. Come on. Come on. You still got a needle in your hand, but I'm still walking with you. That's how the Holy Spirit works. You're still doing that, but I'm still with you. I still love you. I'm still caring for you. And look, you might not even love me right now. I'm still here. You might look up at me, and you might curse at me. And you might say, I don't need you. You haven't done nothing good for me. You don't help me. You don't do that. I might be talking to myself, but there's been some times where I went through some things, and I'm like, look, God, you got to go over there, because right now, we ain't cool. We not cool right now, because you told me this, and that happened, and that's not okay. And guess what God did? Uh-huh. Come on. Where you going? You going over here? All right, come on, let's go. Stay right there with me. Door is opening. I'm mad at him, and he's still opening doors. He's still making ways out of no way. Why? Because I'm his child. And that's another thing you got to understand. When you're a child of God, he's always with you. Always. And now I understand why those storefront churches could dance the way they dance. They didn't need an organ to dance. They was dancing on faith that God would stay with them. They didn't need nobody to holler at them. They didn't need a flare up to get loose. They take that wig off real quick. Take them heels off, them brothers would take their earrings off, and they would go to church right there. They wouldn't run up to the front and dance. They tore the aisle up where they were. And you had to move people so they can go. That's real praise. I'm trying to tell you, this praise warriors, real praise is when you don't need anything to praise. You just bust out and praise, no matter what you're doing. There's been times when I was on that organ, and I had to get up and praise. Why? Because while I'm playing, I just started to think, man, a year ago, I wasn't that dreadful. Now I'm at Drexel being the vice president and on study abroad. I'm a full ride. Oh, Josh, you got to come over here real quick. I got to give God this real quick. Because there's no way I should have been where I am. Especially knowing what I was doing years ago. Oh, I shouldn't have been. I shouldn't even be on this pulpit with what I was doing years ago. Right? But God stayed with me. God, the Spirit, is right here with me the whole time. If I dropped something, he picked it up. Hey, you dropped this. Just helping me the whole time. And that's why I told you, God, the Spirit, is the greatest gift God could give us. And I think I have 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes. I'm just going to break down why God, the Spirit, is the greatest gift. You go back to Adam and Eve and God, right? They were in the garden, and they had a direct communication with God. I mean, God was standing right next to him, just like this. Hey, Adam, how's it going? You all right? Amen. And when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, that connection broke. But watch this. It didn't break instantly. God gave him a chance to redeem himself. He said, why are you clothed? We skip over that one, too. We think it just stops right there on how, oh, okay, well, that's why sin is here. No, God asked him, why are you clothed? And if I believe if Adam would have told him the truth, God would have forgave him. He said, okay, I forgive you. But since Adam lied, he said, okay, this is what's going to happen after that then. And watch this. The connection between them broke. But then God sent himself as God, the Son, to restore the connection. But see, God is all-knowing. God is smart. God said, I'm not staying down here forever, so I'll do this. When I die, I'm going to send someone called the Holy Spirit, and he'll fulfill everything continually. That means no matter what generation comes, the Holy Spirit is still here. God the Son is going back up. God the Spirit saves. That's why he's the greatest gift, because even after God fulfilled the promise, he sent God the Spirit to ensure that it's fulfilled every single day. Doesn't matter if it's 2025. Doesn't matter if we have another President Trump. Doesn't matter if we have a Bernie Sanders or an Obama or a Michelle. God the Spirit does not change. That's my entire sermon. My entire sermon. You all can stand up. I'm done. I told you we was going to be good time today. We out of here. It's what, 11:15? We're done. Y'all, yeah. Amen. That was nice and quick. And I hope all of you can learn something from what I just educated you on, as I have. Whether you have a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, a gift of discerning spirits, a gift of praise, a gift of prayer, a gift to keep on walking in holy faith, whatever your gift is, use it the right way. Don't take your gift from God and think, I'm better than anyone else. So many times you walk into church and the bishops and reverends will sit on their seat like they're better than everybody. People are dancing and trying to be delivered, and the bishop is on his phone. How can you be on your phone when God is in your midst? Nothing on my phone is more important than when God shows himself. I don't care what. I pull over the car. God, you right here? All right, well, we're stopping right here real quick. All right, I got to make a stop real quick. But people get their gifts, and they think they're better than anyone and everyone. And that's why a lot of people stay outside the church. You want to know how to reach people out there? You got to fix what's wrong in here. That's the first step. You got to fix what's wrong in your four walls. There's a reason why your message ain't reaching nobody out there. Because if it did, it would probably push them away more. But nobody wants to reflect on themselves. Look at the Pharisees and the stone. They didn't take that stone and look at themselves and say, I did sin. They took it and looked at her. Said, oh, no, we know she messed up. So we'll stone her. It's not about you stoning her. God gave us 2 commandments that somehow we always lose sight of. They said, God, what's the greatest commandment? What'd he say? Love me and love your neighbor. That's your 2 greatest commandments. Telling your neighbor what they're doing is wrong and they're going to hell is not love. Here's another flaw in that. You don't have a hell to put them in. So how can you say that? Telling somebody you can't come to my church unless you have on a full-blown suit, that's not love. Maybe I can't afford a suit. But you didn't think about that, did you? You were just concerned about everybody out there looking nice and presentable. in their church clothes. I just might find a scripture that says a church clothes is suit, and watch how long you be looking, because it doesn't exist. Stop trying to be out there being better than someone. Just better yourself. You don't have time to be worried about the person next to you. You got your own mess to deal with. I got my own mess to deal with. I'll be on campus and they'll ask me questions. I say, let them do what they want to do. I ain't got time for that. All I know is that for me in my house, that's all I know. For me in my house, we'll do this. You can do whatever you want to do. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm not being judged for what you do, right? I'm being judged for what I do. And that's what the Holy Spirit is really telling us right now. He wants us to repair this. There's no reason why there should be a church on every corner of Philadelphia, yet these neighborhoods still look run down and beat down. People still don't know who Christ is. How is that? How can you have a church on this corner and this whole neighborhood here and you only got 5 members? What's going on? Something not right here. God wants us to fix the church. And in order to fix the church, we got to fix ourselves. Because it's not the church that's broken. God's word isn't broken. It's the ones reading it and interpreting it that's broken. Why? Because we start saying, oh, I don't like this, so we're going to slide that in the Bible. Or I'm going to make up some fake line to get people shouting, right? When the praises go up, blessings come down. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. What are you talking about? That's not how that works. But we have those nice, smooth lines to get you happy. We want those smooth lines because when you get happy, what happens? You reach in the back of your pocket and get that wallet out. And we get a bigger check for the church. God's not worried about that check. You can give $1 million and what? Still end up in hell with all your money. All by yourself. Because you thought you could buy your way in heaven. I'll say this and I'm done. Offering is about being obedient. It's not about the money. God didn't say give 10%. Because he wants you to give money. It's not about that. And I learned that the hard way when Pastor Ford called out the young adults and myself for not paying tithes. Listen, y'all better pay y'all tithes. He called us out real quick. He said, y'all want new mics, but y'all ain't paying tithes. I said, oh, listen, the way my bank set up, I ain't got nothing to pay. But we're going to make it work. And I went and paid my tithes. And I'm not going to lie on this pulpit. I went home and I cried. I mean, I was like, oh, my God. I needed that. That was a lot of money right there. I don't know what you're going to do, but, I mean, that's a tearful heart, but, Lord, that hurt. That hurt big time. And not even a week after that, this blessing was flowing. This left and right. I mean, I'm just like, oh, really? Oh, another one? I mean, just flowing and flowing. And God came to me and said, it's not about the money. It's about obedience. That's all I want. I just wanted you to be obedient to my word. Listen. You gave me $400. I give it back to you in the next minute. I just want to know if you would give it to me. That's all I wanted to know. Why? Because we love money. So God said, I wonder if you love that more than me. That's it. Y'all be blessed. Amen.